Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm zooming in with Rosalie Brown, my co-host down in Dana Point. And up in Grass Valley, you know, working from home as usual. It's another Blur's Day here in Grass Valley.
that's clever. Blur's Day. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. What day is it? I don't know. It's kind of, we actually went down to visit our daughter this weekend, and it was kind of nice to get out of the house and have a different scenery because, getting kind of Groundhog Day here in Grass Valley. Even though we go out and do stuff, it's still like, wow, all right, what are you going to do today? Well, let's go outside for a hike. Let's go for a bike ride and we'll work from the office at the house. But yeah,
I'm going to say, some people actually work when, Monday through Friday, but
I'm working.
I know, because I get the emails. I do have to say that you have a, designed a pretty cool gig where you're able to work and then kind of do the stuff that, I mean, you know, the reason that someone would want to live in Grass Valley or Nevada City or, you know, any of the area up there is because you want to take advantage of the outdoors. So I actually think you have a really good little schedule set up there. But me and my fellow ABT people always kind of chuckle at, if you want to reach Andy, you got to get on the cell because he's probably out doing something cool.
Don't know where he's at. Yeah. Well, the older I get, the more I realize. I read this book called Younger Next Year by, I can't remember his name, but it was recommended to me by a doctor buddy of mine. And basically it was just saying, your job is, don't forget your job is also to take care of your body so you don't die. Kind of thing. So yeah, try to get outside and keep the heart pumping and keep the body moving. And
now I'm freaked out. Yeah. I'm like I'm gonna do some stretching while we do this.
I had an uncle who passed away at 59 from a heart attack, so it's like, my mom's brother, so I'm very cognizant of that runs in our family genetically, so we gotta make sure that heart's pumping. Keep
good
it up
idea. Good idea. Yeah. I did a little getaway, which I don't usually do on holiday weekends, but I went ahead and took a drive up to Paso Robles, which is kind of, it's a bit of a trek. It's like, four hours or so. I made it much longer, of course, because I was like, I'll just cut over on this freeway and I'll cut over on that freeway. And
do the scenic route.
Yeah, and I did. I really did. So I was a little tired by the time I reached my destination, but I did get to see some cool coastal areas, and I got to drive through Malibu, and we were talking about that off air, and just kind of, I was looking for kind of the growth, because they'd had all those fires a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it off the one, but of course I didn't drive up into Malibu. I always just think of Malibu as like this little slab on the ocean, but there's a lot more going on in Malibu, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I just drove through. I can't afford to even.
And it's so long.
It did take a while.
This strip of Highway 1, and that's Malibu kind of thing.
It was longer than I remembered it. I guess I think the last time I drove up Highway 1 in those parts must have been 20 years ago or something like that. I mean, I distinctly remember a road trip, and there was a Starbucks off the side of the road, and like we pulled over, and as I was driving through the other day, I was like, I am so old. Like I don't remember any of this. I remember just feeling like it. So I reached that point in life where everything hits me and I go, oh my God, time is marching forward and I am not keeping up with the progress. So
Buildings get built and developments happen. Yeah.
I kind of know what my grandparents felt like when, they would say things and I'd be like, whatever. And I am turning into that. So that's scary. But do you have any crazy weather? Because I know I've been watching on the news all the stuff going on across the south part of the United States. And
we've been lucky here, haven't we? I mean, compared to, friends in Texas and stuff, and Minnesota, negative 10. It's been like 10 degrees. I got a friend that's in Austin, and they were without power for a couple days, and they're just not set up for it,
No, I mean, that's
They're not. I mean, here you kind of, Grass Valley, you kind of expect the power to go out during the wintertime. So you get set up for it now with the PSPS from PG&E. Now we're kind of used to it. But Texas, they're not so used to not having power.
No,
snow.
That's it right there. You know, just the and then just kind of like, you know, not to get into a political discussion, but to be off to be on a completely deregulated grid is like, well,
right.
They're not attached
to anybody else around you. Yeah.
I think they're probably going to be rethinking that. You know, hopefully this is like a once in a decade situation, but still.
Well, 10 years ago they had a similar situation, okay. And they suggested winterizing all their stuff and.
It's
they didn't regulate that, so
right.
But it, so
it's like me.
It, so,
it's like yeah. me. So yeah. when I go to get the oil change, I could get the expensive oil, but I'm like, meh. Just give me enough to get me by. So
well, at least you're changing the oil, getting the oil change. So that's good.
Because I always think of what you said about your mechanic uncle who never changed the oil in the car, and I was like, God, he just liked to live by the seat of his pants, didn't he? I'm a little bit like that, but when I think about it, I'm like. No, I'm pretty sure more mechanics agree with me than with Andrew's uncle. So
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and do the whole like lubricate everything. So, yeah. But there are places where I spend money and places where I don't. I do not buy cheap coffee. I do not buy cheap toilet paper. Otherwise, I'm perfectly happy with, you know, having generic anything.
The cheap gas and the cheap oil. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't scrimp on toilet paper or coffee, which are kind of related. We won't go down that road, but.
Or beer. Yeah, I won't scrimp on good beer. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't have any. Well, I have before, though. I will say that on a really hot Midwest day, I will say there is something to. PBR. There really is. It's PBR. It really.
It's a good day drinker. Yeah.
It's
just like water. So
what do they call that? Like a lawn mowing beer or something like that.
Yeah.
It's one of those where if you just want to do that. But here we are. Way off topic. But speaking of cheap beer, water and cheap beer are kind of the same. So we're kind of on a little.
Q&A
here.
Yeah.
So I think if you want to, before we forget anything, because at the end of the show, not so bright, is there anything happening at ABT we should mention now in case anyone's about to tune out?
So, yeah, I mean, one of the things we're really looking for technicians. So if you know or are a plumber or HVAC technician, we want you on our team. We've got a really good, strong team right now. We're growing rapidly, and I could use two more plumbers and at least one more heating and air technician. So, yeah, if you know somebody that's maybe not happy with where they're at, send them our way. At least let them know they can give us a call and chat. You know, no drama at our place, unlike a lot of other places that I've worked in my life. We don't yell at our guys.
I can say that's most of my
competitors and most of the people that I've worked for in my life as a plumber.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories. Well, you know, growing up with a dad in the trades, you know, there was a lot of salty language and a lot of screaming. There was some throwing, I can say
it's that all happened that, to me before. Yeah,
yeah, I can say that does not happen at ABT. So that's a total bonus right there, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think. Okay, so good. Yeah. So if anyone's interested in kind of the opportunity, they can definitely email you, and that would be andrew@easyasabt.com. And there are some information about the jobs and kind of the culture of ABT on the website, easyasabt.com. And that would be my... I just want to make sure we covered that, because by the end of the show...
Yeah, I appreciate that. I got one more thing that... just want to add, because one of the things that's happened this year, since surprisingly, you know, the pandemic fortunately hasn't really been detrimental to our company, other than, you know, just COVID protocol and making sure everybody's safe and making sure keeping our clients safe. But work has been very busy, and we were able to implement two things this year. So we're, you know, we offer paid vacation, health insurance stipend, paid sick leave, but we just implemented a 401k. For a matching 401k for our staff, and also paid holidays now. So thank you, everybody. Thanks all our clients out there for helping us make that happen and just trying to take care of our technicians, take care of our peeps.
That's amazing. So, yeah. That's really amazing. That's awesome. That's really great. And I know that I won't go on too much about this because we have other things to talk about, but I do think it's pretty great when a smaller or locally owned company is able to invest in their employees like that. It's just one more, you know, reason to want to go to work. Because you're not
we couldn't do it without our clients. Our clients are amazing. So
you're not a company that's actually trying to cut corners when it comes to that, and that means a lot. You know, so when you have a choice to make on where to spend your money as a consumer, you know, for me personally, I like to know a little bit about the company culture. It makes me feel a little better when I'm supporting a company that supports its employees. So that's pretty cool.
You take care of your people, they take care of your clients. It's really simple.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So when we get off, I'll be asking for a raise when we get off here. I'll be denied, but I'm going to ask anyway. I know. I totally know. Okay. All right. So I just kind of wanted to have one more show maybe, and I'm sure there'll be future shows, but we got a little bit of positive feedback for kind of actually spending a little time talking about plumbing issues, because there's all these little weird things that pop up, and maybe you don't want to get on the phone with your plumber, or you don't want to feel stupid asking your plumber these questions. So we just kind of have been doing a little bit of Q&A, and we're going to do that for this show again. And I think it's actually probably pretty good. So I will go ahead and ask a few questions, and you will tell me, plumbing guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try to stump you. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Although if I were going to stump you, there's other things I'd ask you about. So.
Right.
Okay. So I have a question for you. So how come, so if there's nothing that's going down my drain and I'm not like, you know, I'm not putting stuff down there, I don't have a bunch of hair, like whatever, how can my sink be clogged when there's nothing going down there, when I don't notice anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's a big one. That's, primarily happens in, you think of a bathroom sink or a lavatory sink, because, you know, what are you putting down there? You know, you're brushing your teeth, you maybe be shaved, you may be getting ready in the morning, but you're not putting food down the drain, you're not putting any big things down the drain, but it's still clogging up. It's kind of surprising, but it's not really surprising. The pipe that's the tailpiece, the first part of the drain, is only 1.25 inches, so it's a pretty tiny little pipe. And one of the things that happens is it gets a buildup of soap scum and toothpaste, of all things. And it literally gets to this, like, it's this nasty, gelatinous, stinky goo that kind of forms on the walls of the pipe, and they catch everything. So even though you're not putting anything down the drain that seemingly, but what's happening is those things that are in liquid stasis, you know, soaps and things like that, they congeal. They cool off and they stick to the walls of the pipe, and then they start catching hair, even little bits of hair, and that's what's generally doing it. So some of the ways you can deal with that is, you know, obviously mechanical. You can use a snake or you can use a Zip-It. We've gone into some details about that. That's like a little tool that you can get at the hardware store for like $5 or under, just a piece of plastic with some teeth on it. Or an even easier way is you put enzymes, and it's something that we saw of a company we use, Total C, and it uses bioorganisms that basically eat the organic material and then work their way down to the septic tank and continue their process. So that'll help take care of it as well. So yeah, I highly recommend the Total C product.
So I just want to say something that would only be applicable to a small percentage of a listening audience, presuming we have one. A lot of people that I know, and they actually live in the Grass Valley area, there's kind of a health movement for mouse hygiene, to do what they call oil pulling, and that requires like, you know, usually, you know, it's like coconut oil or something, and you kind of do your little mouth swishes or whatever, and it's really important, not to gross anyone out, not to actually get rid of that when you're finished in the sink, because even though it goes down, it's just exactly like what you said, it'll go down the sink, but it is going to go back to its other form, especially like a coconut oil or something like that. That's not always liquid.
It's gelatinous goo.
Yeah.
So yeah. So dump it outside if you do put it down the sink, put some enzymes down there. They'll take care of it, because we have the same issue with kitchen sinks. So
right, absolutely. You know. So not to be gross, that's just something that can happen at the bathroom sink. I've noticed I have friends, I'll go to their house and go to use the restroom in their house, and they'll have like the little setup for oil pulling. And I always think to myself, is it going to be weird if I come out of their restroom and say, hey, you guys aren't actually like, spitting that out, right? It's a weird line that you cross sometimes, but yeah. I'm not afraid. I'll walk that line.
I do it all the time.
I know, right? Okay, so what's the deal with the smell coming from my garbage disposal?
Yeah, that funk. Once again, it's just organic material rotting inside of there. So a couple of ways you can get rid of that is obviously run your disposer. Run some hot water down there. Hot water running it will typically get rid of it. If it's still an issue, you can throw a lemon down there. Once again, Total C, we have this product, and it's got an orange citrus smell, and it'll eat up a lot of the organics down there. It's just, it's organic material. It's like a pond. It's just stuff. As stuff
just decomposes, it off-gasses this.
Nasty. So yeah.
So basically,
that's
rotting.
That's an easy one.
So rotting, it's decay. The idea of organic decay is just fascinating and disgusting at the same time.
Yeah.
Really,
so Total
gross.
C will take care of that and run hot water and run it.
So it's basically I don't have, it's not as clean down there as I was hoping, is basically what the outcome there is. Okay, I got you. Now I have a question. So if you were to have let's say that you spent the money and you put in a fairly nice like faucet, whether it's, usually I'm thinking of like a bathroom situation, you did a remodel or something. What is the best way to care for the finish on the faucet? Because I know if we don't do that right, we end up with kind of an ugly surprise in the bathroom.
Yeah, and I see them all the time. They're just scuffed and the finishes are peeling off and things. So how do you care for it? One of the best thing is just really just, a wet rag. Try to avoid any kind of soaps, and particularly any kind of cleansers with abrasives in them. Especially with some of the fancier finishes like oil rub bronze, or they've got epoxy finishes. Brass is kind of coming back again. Those sort of finishes are really susceptible to, wear and tear, and they're really sensitive. They're very delicate. Chrome tends to be a product that holds up. That's why we use it on cars and other things like that. It holds up really well. But surprisingly, a lot of our faucets these days have plastic parts on them that look like chrome. So you definitely want to avoid any abrasives and any kind of, just avoid any cleansers at all. Just use a wet rag. And maybe Windex if you absolutely have to, or like a multi-surface cleaner.
Nothing
harsh.
It's just going to rip it away, and you're going to be so surprised that you went in on the good, finish, and then you took it away.
Yeah, and it happens. It happens surprisingly quick, especially I've seen faucets that were 5 years old, and people were using cleansers and like a Comet or something like that, and they get torn up.
Right.
And you can't do anything about it. You got to rip out the fixture and put a whole new faucet in. So.
Don't like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have another one for you. This one might be a little bit more involved, but it is a situation, right, that happens. So if water's coming from the pressure and temperature relief valve, what should I do?
So the pressure temperature relief valve is on the water heater.
Sorry, I didn't mention that. Water heater. Water heater issue.
I know what you're talking about. So one of the things that, more than likely it's doing its job. It's actually a relief valve. So if the water heater is malfunctioning, i.e. like overheating, it releases pressure in there so you don't have a bomb. I've seen people do some not so smart things like put plugs in the dripping temperature pressure relief valve. That's not uncommon.
Really? That seems like a really poor decision just based on the idea of the pressure. I'm just thinking pressure. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And more than likely the reason why it's dripping is because it's overheating. So now you've got an overheating water heater that's continually heating up, and it can build up enough pressure where it literally turns into a missile. If you want to see some fun stuff. MythBusters did a thing where it went through a 2x6 roof. I've read articles where they've gone through shopping malls up through a floor and then ended up on a parked car outside. What happens is, you know, the water gets really hot and eventually it just, the bottom of the water heater ruptures. There's a weak point on it so it doesn't explode outward. So they make it on the bottom. So it shoots up, and what happens with that hot, hot water, all of a sudden it's exposed to atmosphere, and now it turns into steam, which turns it into a propellant. So it literally just, boom, it's straight up in the air.
Yeah, it's like fuel.
It's fuel. It's gnarly. So yeah, definitely, if you want to see some fun stuff, definitely look online. So, you know, what we typically recommend is if you're seeing this, there's probably an issue. So turn off your water heater, call a plumber. If you're not a plumber, turn off the gas, turn off the electricity, and call a plumber to come out and take a look at it, because it's probably doing its job. There's probably something going on in there. It's kind of like going to the doctor and you know, having high blood pressure. You know, there's it's just a symptom of other things that can be a problem, right? That thing is telling you something.
Ticking time bomb. Definitely
call somebody that knows what they're doing out there. Don't try to do any kind of janky repairs to it, like capping it or plugging.
Well, I do have a quick little story about a failed water heater. I went this weekend and got there, and it was like, oh, guess what? The hot water heater's out, and we can't get anyone out until, you know, whatever. I guess it was Monday or Tuesday even. And okay, cool, fine, I'm good. So my friends start to boil this water on the stove at some point,
yeah.
and they're like, here you go. And I was like, I'm sorry, how do you envision me using this hot water, like taking that, like going outside, like pouring some Dawn soap on and like dumping this hot water? I'm like, I can go a day or two without a shower. If it's not going to offend you, I promise you I'm okay. I was just like, I'm going to be all right. Yeah. I don't need a hot bowl of hot soup on my head. It was just hilarious. I was like, what do you think I'm going to do with that? I was like, that's crazy. So yeah, right. I was like,
you go with it's a sponge bath thing, right?
Yeah, I was like, unless you're trying to tell me something, I can wait a day or two till I get home. And then it just turned
I can use wet wipes.
Right, and then it just turned out they had to have the guest help me out to check out their pilot, which was unlit. They couldn't light it themselves. It was a newer water heater. They had to have the gas company. It was required that the gas company relight the pilot. So. That was an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah, and that is something. Yeah, if the pilot goes out, there's descriptions on how to do it, but it may be for a reason that is greater than it's just blown out. Because typically, water heater pilots don't just blow out. There's usually something else going on with them. And so, yeah, the gas company, whether it's PG&E or I think it's down there, it's Edison, they'll want to come out and take a look at it because they don't want you to blow up.
No, and I was happy to not blow up, and I was okay without a shower. Yeah. So it all worked out.
We were joking about this the other day in our company meeting. Talking about blowing up and
as
lighting
one does,
houses on
right.
fire and stuff. Yeah. I've blown myself up more than once lighting water heaters, and I've watched my dad blow himself up more than once lighting water heaters. So it's can be a little scary if you don't, even when you know what you're doing. Unfortunately, when you know what you're doing, sometimes you cut corners and don't do what you're supposed to do.
Don't tell on yourself, because that's just in your personal home, not through your professional company. So, hey, that's a show. So let's just real quick, if someone has an issue with their water heater or something else that's plumbing related, HVAC related, or even electrical, who could they call, Andrew?
Give us a call at 530-272-9120. We're available for plumbing 24/7. We're available for HVAC and electrical 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Or you can also find us at easyasabt.com. You can find all our information there, what we do, all that stuff. You can also find us on the Facebook, at our Facebook page. Please like it. And if you just want to get on our newsletter list, please go to our website and you can click on there and get on our newsletter list. And we've got a lot of good information there every month. We send one out literally every month. So with that,
that's the show. See you next week.
That's the show. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.